As we continue on with Luke's gospel, it's important to keep in the back of your mind and remember what is going on. As we heard several weeks ago, Jesus has now set his face towards Jerusalem. He's headed to that final destination where he will meet his fate. He will be delivered into the hands of sinful men, suffer his passion, crucifixion, and there he will rise again from the dead and ascend into heaven. So he's set on that course. He's set on that path. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've been hearing those who he has encountered along the way. We heard those a couple weeks ago who made excuses about why they couldn't immediately leave what they were doing and follow the Lord and become disciples. We heard about the 70 who were sent out and were successful in their ministry because they cast out demons and they healed the sick and they did various and sundry things in the name of the Lord. And they were empowered by his authority and by that commission that he gave them to go out and do those things in his name as an extension of his ministry. Last week, we heard the story of the lawyer, who was actually a scholar of the Torah, who knew the Torah, the law, the Jewish law, inside and out, who approaches Jesus and says to him, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asks him the interpretation of Scripture. And this individual, being learned in the Scriptures, said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And then this gentleman wants to justify himself, and he says, "And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus launches into the parable of the Good Samaritan, and tells the story. And at the end he says to the lawyer, "And you know, who was the one who did mercy?" He said, "Of course, the one who took care of him." And he says, "Go and do likewise." And so this morning, we go right from that very well-known parable into one of the beloved stories, I believe, in Scripture. And that is Jesus arriving in the village of Bethany. And there, as he arrives, he's greeted by a woman, Martha. Martha has a sister, and they live in this place. And you will probably also recall they have a brother who was Lazarus. Now, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus will play mightily in Jesus' ministry in John's gospel after Jesus is dead, and after Lazarus is dead, and Jesus raises him from the dead. But we were introduced to them this morning. And so Martha was something of a spitfire, if you will. She comes out as Jesus enters the village and says, "You know, come to my house and come and stay with us." Now, that was standard operating procedure. That was what hospitality was about. That was very, very critical to the culture back in the day. You always accepted the sojourner in. You fed them if they were hungry. You put them up if they needed to be put up. You sheltered them if they were in trouble. That was just standard operating procedure. But Martha's all excited. You know, you would be too. Jesus shows up on your door. What would you do? Well, you know, right? You'd probably be like me, like Martha. You'd run around and make it all perfect, because that's why the Lord came, was to see what your housekeeping skills were all about, right? Just like when we have guests, we have dinner guests, you know, you got to make sure everything's spiffy clean, you know, and I'm that guy. But people don't come over to inspect your house. Jesus wasn't there to inspect it either. But he comes in, and Martha gets all busy doing busy stuff. Mary, on the other hand, so Martha's probably an extrovert if we're looking at it in terms of psychological whatever. Mary, on the other hand, plops at the foot of the Lord. Mary is probably more of an introvert. And she's listening to Jesus' teaching. She's soaking it all up. And Martha's doing busy stuff, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And she's getting a little irritated. You know, she's like, "Why am I doing all this stuff? You know, I got the glasses all polished. I got the wine chilled. I got the roast in the oven. I got all this going on, you know, all the cakes baked, the whole thing." And Mary's sitting there. What's the deal? Well, that was her role too, actually, if we look in terms of, you know, what the role of a woman was back there. And Mary's just sitting there listening to Jesus. So Martha, being the spitfire that she is, has the chutzpah to go up to Jesus and say, "You know, look at this. What's his deal? I'm doing all this." And, you know, Mary's just sitting here listening, taking it all in. And it may sound critical, but the Lord's response is really one of compassion and a little bit of pity, because Martha doesn't quite get it. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things, you know. Mary has chosen the better portion." Now, was that a criticism? No. He was simply saying, you know, slow down, pull it back a little bit, and realize what Mary is doing. What Mary is doing is hearing the teachings. He didn't say this, obviously you didn't hear it in the gospel, but what he's doing is he's saying, Mary is listening to what I have to say because it is important. It is important. It's not to say what Martha was doing was unimportant, but you have to be nurtured and fed with the Word of God and with the teachings of the Lord before you can get all active and busy doing them. So in the Christian life, there is a life of being active in service, and there is the life of contemplation where we're still and are in the presence of the Lord. Until we're nourished in the Word of the Lord, until we're nourished in worship, until we're nourished in the scriptures and spiritual readings and various things, so that we can understand in the heart and the mind what is the will of God for us, we are not equipped and prepared to go out and do the ministry. And that is the better part that Jesus says Mary has taken over. That is the better part. She's getting ready, she's listening. And so Martha, we don't know exactly what happened in that particular time. The passage is very short. But if we were to jump to John's gospel, I think we have a different understanding of how that affected Martha in that moment. So Martha's listening now to what Jesus says. So now we skip to the 11th chapter of John's gospel. There, of course, Lazarus has died. They send for Jesus to come prior to his death. Jesus delays, he doesn't show up. He shows up 3 days later. Lazarus is already dead and in the tomb. Martha meets Jesus once again. You know, she's all ready to go. She says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In the meanwhile, Mary's doing what Mary does. She's inside. She's probably praying. She's probably in contemplation. She's probably, you know, just being Mary with God in that moment. But Martha's like all Twitter pating, you know, "Lord, you know, he's dead." And Jesus says to her, you know, "Your brother is not dead." And she says, she makes this remarkable statement of faith. She goes, "I know that at the resurrection, my brother will live again." And Jesus says to her, he gives her this food. He gives her this nurture. He gives her this encouragement. He says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall not die, and he that dies will live forever. Do you believe this?" She goes, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So Mary, you know, is in contemplation, and Martha is redeemed. Now I think, well, I've already confessed my Martha-ness. We all have in this crazy world in which we live a propensity, I think, to be drawn into the Martha mode in what we do. If we have children, you're all busy with children. Even if we have grown children, you're busy. If you're retired, you're doing things. If you're working, you're doing things. We get so busy, we get so absorbed, we get so sucked in, if you will, to being busy so that we define who we are. We really don't realize who we are in the Lord. We need to find that time of silence, that time of quiet, to be one with God. As Scripture reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God." What does that mean? It not only means putting down the tablet, getting off the screen, turning off the television. It doesn't even mean just finding a quiet place. It means finding that sacred quiet place where you can enter in to quiet, contemplative, holy, sacred time with the Lord. And invite the Lord to be both host and guest, to move into that moment so that we can be filled with his presence, filled with his understanding, filled with his wisdom, so that then, once we're nourished, once we're fed, once we're encouraged, we can then go out, and as we are called to do with the Great Commission, go and proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. in some way do that so people know the presence of God in their life. But first, we have to have that better part that Jesus commended Mary for having. So then we could go forward. So I preached about this some 20 years ago when I was first in my parish, 25 years ago. And it was a small group. It was a hot day. We were through this cycle again. And we're sitting in the Lady Chapel because there was only about 8 or 9 of us or whatever. I kind of did something like this a little bit. So I said to them, I said, so are you Martha or are you Mary? And they're like, so one person, she was a pip. She rolled her eyes. She goes, oh, brother. I said, no, there's some validity to that, you know? Because we're all a little of both, I hope, you know, but we need to be a little of both, and that's not a bad thing. So we have this wonderful example of two virtuous, godly, holy women who show us what the Christian life is to be for us. Steeped in the Lord, steeped in the scriptures, steeped in the worship, so then we could go forward as Jesus did and proclaim and build up the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.